Joking. Hello, everybody, or not. So, yes, we are live. As you can see, Malcolm is live from JMC Malcolm Studio, and I am live from a completely different place.
Yeah, we're also coming on at you from the recording of a podcast as well.
Indeed, we are. So, yeah, if you remember in our last episode, we tried a different, slightly different format in that we're going to go on to YouTube and then download and blah, blah, blah. So, obviously, a massive thank you to everybody who has sent messages personally to me and on the other variety of social media, etc., with the post which I put up and all that, the other. Thank you so much. It's been very, very emotional getting all of those, and yeah, it really has blown away. But we'll go over that a little bit more. But obviously, I'm in hospital at the moment, but we didn't want to leave it too long until we did another something or other. So with 24 hours notice, we've decided to go live. We've got my mum watching on YouTube. And obviously, Malcolm and I will carry on there regardless. How are you, Malcolm?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll have to talk about why you're where you are.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I have also received lots of well wishes that I've tried to pass on to you. A lot of people saying, oh, James is poorly, sending my regards. So I have been doing that. But yeah, we all wish you get you better very soon. We miss you.
Yeah. Yeah, so just to keep you up to date, obviously I've put a couple of posts up. It's not for the sympathy, la-di-da-di-da. You know, Malcolm, to be honest, he's bored shitless of listening to me whinge on about this, that, and the other. And Gary Morris is in complete tears over sausages. But a picture will go up on our post to explain that a bit more. But I'm in hospital, unfortunately. The plumber has had to come in and look at my pipe work for my ticker, and it's been decided that yeah, we can bleep it later. It's okay. We've been running for more than 30 seconds. Basically, it's and they're going to have to do a triple bypass, possibly more. Who knows? And interesting story actually was that those of you that might not know how these things work, I had a procedure called an angiogram, where basically they put a great big X-ray machine over your heart, pump a load of lead into it, and see where it flows. And to have this procedure, I had two consultants argue over whose patient it was. Now, I did discover that one of them was a listener, one of our fans. He asked not to be named, in fairness. But Doc, thank you very much for your A, the fact that you argued over me, and B, that you did the procedure, because obviously the other person was in fact a Sprue Cutters Union fan. So he lost.
That's interesting. But yeah,
interesting. You know, you come across some very strange modelers in the world, but a heart surgeon probably is one of the best, I guess, when you're looking at detail. So, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Good Lord. So, for the people who don't know, a Dickey ticker is the heart. So, I don't know if that's just a slang for the UK or whatever, but yeah. So, James has gone in there for have a heart operation. They're going to have a good old dig and find if they has one or not. Mm-hmm. If they have one, if you have one, then they'll fix it.
Now, see, the interesting thing about this is that I am, being the generous sort of person I am, and always worried about other people. My first concern was whether they'd allow me to donate my moves. And I'm glad to say they are. They're gonna take those away and donate them to someone that needs them. Because I can grow another pair, it's not a problem.
Yeah. When they cut you open, you'll get scar tissue and stuff, and where they've damaged it, that won't come back. So anyway.
No. Well, it's an open heart surgery. They're going to put poppers in into the visit, just in case they need to go back in and makes it easier. Nothing worse than fiddling around with your flies when you want to get something out, isn't it, really? But anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway. So enough joviality. Yes, let's move on. So yes, those of you that may have noticed, I did do a tribute to David Bowie's Major Tom. Me and a couple of the nurses put together a little something. If you haven't seen that, then check that out. That's on the Facebook page, Instagram, etc. And there's a very small, insignificant little video that gives you a rough idea of what we got up to. But last week I challenged the nurses. I didn't challenge the nurses. I asked if they were up for a challenge. They said yes, obviously. So we've done the tribute to David Bowie and Major Tom. There are a couple more organised. One will be done on Sunday, this Sunday, which would be the 12th of May. Because we're recording this on Saturday. And there is a further one that will be done sometime next week before they whisk me away to a more sensible hospital.
Right. Okay. So shall we talk about the stuff that we have been up to? Shall we talk about some model stuff? Or do you want to go through the comments that we've had in the last week?
Shall we do comments first?
Yes.
And then we get all that boring stuff out of the way, because it's not all about me, after all.
It's about you.
Waffle.
It's about you.
So I alluded to it earlier. Lots of comments from lots of people. About the situation at the moment. One person I really wanted to give a shout out to was Ken Reed. I won't mention exactly, because he sent me a personal message as well as putting a post up or answering a post as well. I won't give the details of that, but I've written to you today, Ken, and thank you so much for that amazing generosity and kindness that you showed. It really, really took my breath away. I said it all in an email, but I wanted to give you a shout out anyway. Thank you. So to give you a little bit of background to that, Ken basically wrote to me and said he wanted to do something for me because Malcolm Rye had helped him through some hard times with the podcast, because he's a listener and he's used that as a way of getting himself through some difficult times. So anyway, so thank you very much, Ken. I really appreciate that. A shout out also to Mikey, Gary, Ian, and Mickey. They were all very concerned about my stash, and I'm very grateful for them reaching out to ensure that was safe.
That's very kind of them.
Absolutely. Obviously, a massive thank you to all the podcasts as well on the bench. Spruikers Union and everyone, all, and even modeling the modeling company on Facebook, sharing the information about what happened, etc. Super touched by that, really, really super touched. And a massive thanks to all of you, Ray Davis, Steph, Sal, Callum, Neil. I could go on and on and on. Honestly, thank you so much. You really, really meant a lot.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, well done, guys. Nice community. Stepping up when it needs to be stepped up. I got a comment from Mr. Paul Gallagher from our Patreon. He says, while I love the production values and editing and sound effects of your past seasons, I think recording live makes sense. It'll be a different show, perhaps better in some ways. Like James's suggestions of interviews and tutorials, maybe in tutorials, is what he says. That's a good idea. Only one suggestion, the headset mic that Malcolm used last time was distractingly bad. I must apologize for that. I didn't know. I can't hear my myself, obviously, and because I'm not doing the editing, I didn't hear it. So my apologies for that. But if you're watching live, you've got the opportunity to complain live, and we can do something about it.
Yeah, yeah, let us know. If you watch this live or watch it back through YouTube, and you notice some differences in quality or anything like that, let us know. Mm-hmm. And we did. I'm not going to lie. I was in charge of post production, and I went, there we go, it'll mm-hmm. do. And I'm glad I did, because it gave us the opportunity to have your feedback. I still, you know, that's the worst it could be, guys. What do you think?
Would you want to do one of your messages?
I certainly will. Bear with me a second. I have just got to do this. So, Peter Smith, he put a message on the YouTube episode one of Man's One Man's Gold. He said, I like the format, and just uploading the audio is a great idea, as it saves you time for life stuff. If anyone wants to see what you're talking about, then it's on YouTube. Nice and simple. Look forward to more episodes in the future. So, yeah, another thumbs up. That was nice.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Your camera's gone off, FYI.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know that. It's better. It's a better look this particular way it is. While the lights are off in this room, I'll do one more while I'm here. So another person that sent a message to us was Elridge. He said, absolutely love you guys. Sometimes I have to stop painting fingers because I'm laughing so hard. Just subscribe. Mm-hmm. Thanks from Yvette Modeling. Definitely helps. Indeed, it does.
That's good. Well, yeah. Well, maybe if you're doing something very, very, very fiddly, and you're chuckling and you're like I do when I laugh, kind of jump up and down like a wobbly jelly, like that poem was. Then perhaps you shouldn't be listening to us while you're doing things like that. That's good.
Before we do any more messages, obviously we are live on the YouTube as well, so we do have live interaction. So Liam Barnett is there. He says, hi guys, hope you're doing well, and thank you for watching and listening. If you are watching this live, by all means, throw a message in while we're doing the messages.
Yeah, if it's polite, we might read out.
you got another one over there?
I do. Ken McFarlane, massive friend of the show. He says, the title of this email is Prescription. And he says, hi, James. Take a cup of tea every 4 hours with 2 hobnob biscuits. Do not consume more than 1 pack in a 24-hour period. He's talking from experience, maybe, there. Mm-hmm. I think he's not supposed to eat hobnob after midnight either, but he didn't mention that. Get well soon, he says. You know, a pack of hobnobs is probably all you need. Saturated fat in the hobnobs, probably not, by the way. I hate to think it was the realization that I was the only viewer of your live podcast that pushed you over the edge. I know that the NHS has gone downhill since Brexit, but really they are just using plumbers. If that is the case, it should be called the NPS. National Plumber Service. Good luck with your plumbing work. I bet you love you are loving working with the NHS and NPS digestive biscuits. No hobnobs for you until you get home. I didn't say much on the chat about your live podcast, but it was a nice comment live on what you were talking about, and it was nice to see as well. And he says, I have not booked flights or hotel for Telford yet. but I'll see you there, even if I have to walk and swim.
Okay.
I'll check Google Maps, and it says it'll take two days and 1 hour to walk. Not sure if it thinks I'm going to walk on water or underwater. If I make it this year, biscuits, maybe they'll be wet digestives, and I'll bring a little cheese. From Ken, that's nice. Oh, I hope to see you. Are you confirming or not confirming yet about your Telford visit?
Me? But yeah, no, I'll be there.
You're there. Cool. Yeah, I'll be there too.
Nothing will stop me. I everything's booked. Everything's ready to rock and roll. Time's booked off work. Everything's sorted. So the only thing that I might have to do is bring a spare plumber with me. But other than that, it'll be fine.
well, we'll see you there, Ken, if you're there. Indeed. Obviously, we'll be at Telford. So, yeah, we'll see all of you there too. Not sure where we'll be yet, as usual.
No. I will be milling around. I won't be on a stand other than M4H.
Okay.
That's me personally. So I do believe, I'm not sure, but there is a rumor that Mr. Gentry will be over.
Yeah.
I'd probably be running around after him because I'd be awestruck.
Yes.
And all that. So.
Yeah, I've sent a message. He hasn't got back to me. And maybe you should send it to him again with an exclamation mark at the end this time. Gets back to me.
Indeed.
So another friend of the show. Anything else you got?
So another friend of the show, Mikey, a bit of veteran, says, I forgot you were doing this today. Sorry, gents. This is obviously on the YouTube malarkey on the first episode. He said, sorry, gents, I shall try harder in the future. That being said, I really enjoyed the show. Well done, guys. So thank you very much, Mikey.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I mean, we just did a quick pop-up, didn't we? Pop-up live. So we don't even know really when we're going to do it. We only decided yesterday that we'd do it today. Yeah.
That's not strictly true. We did decide at the beginning of the week that we were going to do it at the beginning of the week, but then some doctor and nurse got in the way and it did that. But yes, this particular one was decided yesterday. So
yeah, no worries.
But yeah, so they're all the messages. What have you been playing with on your bench, Malcolm?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me see if I can switch cameras. Professionally. There we go. I did. That's good. Oh, what's this? This is, I think I've showed this one before, the D9R. Sure I have. This is the Meng D9R 1/35th scale. It is the one with just the regular armor. It doesn't have the one with the bar armor. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is, it's going to be on a base and it's going to be tearing up the ground underneath it. So the rip is going to be down. Here it's gonna be like that, and then it's gonna be tearing up the concrete. I've still got the masking on the windows, I haven't taken that off yet. Desperate to, because I want to see what it looks like inside. I've done a lot of the weathering. As you can see, blade's kind of done.
Yeah, the blade looks really, really good. It's got lots of weathering on there, some nice dark tones, a bit of rust, I believe, on there as well.
A little bit. I didn't want to go too mad with it. I wanted to reflect a lot of the photographs that I've got. I've got the I've got the Desert Eagle Publishing one by Michael Mass book, IDF Bulldozers, and there's some amazing photographs in there. I recommend that if you're building this kit. A lot of the undercarriage, a lot of the tracks and all of the bogies get really rusted up, and all the paint gets ripped off it almost immediately because these are pretty much in the dirt constantly. But the top part of it is hardly touched, you know? So that's what I've done. So you'll see that this section here is all weathered up, and then this bit's relatively clean. I spent yesterday putting on the tracks. They were tough work. I've had to super glue them in place, but I've got like a bit of a sag going on, so that's good. I'm happy with that. It doesn't move. they're the best I can do, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And then I've got to have another go on the other side. The other set of tracks has got to go on. I tested the electronicals earlier on, and they still work. So I can, for those who are lucky enough to be on the show now, I'll show you now. It's all working. There's a little flashy light on top. Everybody loves a flashy light.
Absolutely.
I'll just let you enjoy that in silence.
So, so you've got a nice red flashing light on the roof. You've got some lights on the back.
Yep, absolutely, yep. So on the back here, I've got two reverse lights, rear lights, and one main sort of working light in the center. They have on the actual thing, they have two sets of lights on here. There's this little tiny part here next to the main light. You can see it here as well. And those are actually the brake lights. I think these are working lights, but I don't have an LED small enough. So I've just taken a bit of artistic license and did what I could, you know? So yeah, oh, dodgy connection. And then, yeah, so it's working lights all the way around it. All the masks are off these lights now because I was so excited to see what it looked like with the lights on. And then in connections come out. I haven't properly connected it all up yet. Because, you know, it's I've got water and paint and everything else all the way around it. I didn't want to properly connect it up in case I mess it up somehow. But also inside, a little interior light really works. It's got like a green tinge to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that so it really brightens it up inside. If I put the... you see the little Models for Heroes?
Yeah, got little Models for Heroes sign in the corner there.
Yeah.
In the picture frame.
Not going to focus, is it?
But yeah, yeah, there you go.
Little picture frame on the side, and everything else is painted up as best I can. Put some seat belts in there, which are probably from some of the kit. But there's a Dan. If I put the lid on for you. Go and get the connection sorted out. This is great live telly. Oh, no. Hang on. Sorry. My apologies. Hey, we get you get what you pay for with this with the podcast. Let you get what you pay for. And then in there, you can see the light is on in the dark. I don't know if you can, can't really hold it out.
Yeah, you can just sort of about make it out. Yeah.
Okay. So when the lid's on, the lights go off again. Ah, man. Imagine it's looked really good, right?
On, this works really well on the podcast because everybody who's listening on the podcast has gone, oh, yeah, no, I can imagine that. The lid's on, the lights are on, it shows everything inside. The people watching live are going, there's no light.
I can't see it. Yeah. So anyway, it's just got wires just hanging out, so that's why it's not really working. Yeah. But I've really enjoyed it, absolutely loved it. It's been bloody awesome. To be honest, the build just falls together. It's a kit that wants to be built. Everything fits. I've had no struggles at all. And it's tons of detail in there. The entire cockpit section was a bloody joy. It really was to do. Yeah, I mean, even putting the electronics, there was not one point when I went, you know, oh, this is a stupid idea. Because it just worked. You know, obviously, I'm going to get it on the diorama, and we still have to see how that's going to work. But it's going on well. Going on well. The other thing I've been working on, while we're talking about me, Models for Heroes do a figure painting session with one of our volunteers, Rob Herring, and he is kindly enough to give up his time. Teach people how to do painting and stuff. So he's been taught us loads of stuff, like how to get the shaved head effect and things like that, and how to get like a kind of a shiny gloss on there, like natural metal finish, but without using metal, but using it so it looks glossy. So it's like a natural glossy look. And then I've done the base so that all the grass is facing that way to make it look like it's going that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's a little Dothraki veteran from,
So Malcolm just trots across the shop there with his horse making sound effects. And you see the grass is leading the right way. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dothraki really veteran cool. from Cool Mini or Not. We're going to do another one once it's done. If you're a beneficiary, obviously, you get to get a free figure, and we're also going to supply the paints this time. So yeah, it's gonna be very good. It was fun. And that's me and my
cool
in my things that I've been doing.
Cool.
What about you?
Cool. We've been joined in the live with David Farrell. He says, great to see any of you both. Happy Saturday. And Rob Suto is there as well. So hi.
Hello.
So what I've been doing. So obviously I'm in the hospital. That hasn't stopped me from doing a bit of model making. So I will try to make sure my manky old foot doesn't get in the shot here. Not that you need me to describe that for a podcast. But what we're looking at now is obviously the little slidey desky thing that goes across the bed. And right in front of us right now, I have got some 135th British World War II soldiers, in which I am painting up for the painting up for one of my D-Day diorama builds. This particular one, you'll have to forgive me because I'm fighting the elements a little bit here. I hope that works better than it did in practice.
Yes, no, that works really nicely.
So this is, the name's gone out of my head. So on D-Day, there was a Piper for the 1st Battalion of Special Forces that went on Sword Beach. And I'm going to really kick myself for forgetting the name and I didn't write it down. But anyway, this is my first attempt at painting a kilt. So you might not be able to see too much there, but I'll explain it to you. So what I've done, this particular figure is a master box figure, I believe. And obviously he's got a kilt on the back of his kilt is very pleated, to say the least, and the front is plain. So what I've done is I've painted it a bluish colour. I've painted on some darker lines coming horizontal and vertical on both the back of that. And then, would you believe, now, I can't explain to you how tiny this is, but each pleat has to have a very thin yellow line down it, of which there are about 12 or 14 pleats, I guess, on the back. And they are something like less than a millimeter wide, these pleats. So good luck with that. But yeah, so I thought that would be a bit of a challenge for me. So I've got that. That Millen. Kit comes.
James.
Thank you. Indeed it is. That kit comes with three other figures, of which I'm lucky enough to be able to use those. Now, I built a Gecko's model, 135th British landing craft, of which these figures that I'm doing now will go with. And the idea is to show the D-Day scene of Bill and his comrades offloading onto the beach on D-Day. Yeah. And Mr. Lovell? Is it Lovell? His commanding officer. Lord Lovell. Saying, play me a tune, Bob. And he goes, well, what do you want me to play? And he went, I don't care anything but loud. Yeah, it sort of worked in my head. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah. So as you can see on this little desk, it's quite interesting because obviously I've not got my normal stuff with me, but my darling wife has bought me 15 odd bottles of paint. Plus I've got a Scale 75 flesh paint set as well. Mm. So that should keep me occupied for the next several days. Yeah. However, what I have been playing with already is this little baby, which is the NASA Space Shuttle Discovery. And this is by E-Gears. And U-Gears. It's a wooden 196.
Huh? U-Gears.
U-Gears, that's what I said, wasn't it?
No, you said E-Gears.
Oh, did I say E-Gears? Well, this is the one that comes after E-Gears in the alphabet. U-Gears.
It could be Ugg ears, but I'm pretty sure.
It could be Ugg ears.
Mm. Well, you jump.
But yeah, so this is basically a laser cut model of the space shuttle. And as you see those that you're watching right now will see it's in my hand, obviously. But I'll describe it to you. So basically, we've got lots of layers of wood onto each other, which make the shuttle itself. Now, in the nose, there is a little cog here, right underneath the cockpit window that faces out front. And in between the engines is another set of cogs. Now, in theory, if you play with these cogs, the doors of the space shuttle will open and shut.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I couldn't find enough wax to put on the cogs. Now, I went around all the wards with loads of cotton buds, and I just couldn't get enough. So my particular model will have the door bays open, the bay doors open.
Yeah.
And on the nose here, I'm just going to show those that are watching, the landing gear actually is workable. That's coming out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to build this that I haven't put the back wheels in yet, but when I put the back wheels in, they will be down and it will sit on the side like so, displaying its goodiness. However, the model does come, as it depicts in the picture here, it comes with a stand with a bit of wire and a bit of ingeniousness. You can actually manipulate the stand to get the shuttle to be in different positions.
Okay, and it comes with a, does it come with a satellite as well? Is that Hubble?
Yeah, it comes with a satellite. Obviously, the arm inside is built inside the bay, but the stand that it's on has actually got the satellite on it.
Oh, I see.
A little plaque underneath that explains what it is, etc. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to be quite cunning, is I'm going to try and put the satellite in the bay so that all the model apart from the stand is one piece.
I'm with you.
Well, that's the plan. But yeah, I'll put some pictures up. It's a really interesting little model. I'll be honest with you, it was a little bit more than I wanted to pay for a model of wood that I've never done before. But it is actually been quite enjoyable. Yes, there has been some frustrating elements because obviously I'm in a hospital and all I have, as you can see, is a sander. I bought some sanders. Now, it doesn't need sanding. It just says where the bits that move, you need to make sure that they're nice and clean. So I bought some sanders and that is literally the only tool I had for nearly 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And trying to push everything into the right holes and all that was a bit of an ache, I think it would be the right phrase.
Okay. Yeah.
But it was a really good buy. It was on Amazon. I think it was about 35 quid, I think, off the top of my head, something like that. But it's a sizable piece. I mean, that's a good 30-ish centimeters long, I think. Uh-huh. In fact, if I look on the back, it will tell me. Oh, well, that's where I went wrong to start with. It's for people that are age 14 plus. It has 315 parts. Yeah. It should take you 6 hours to assemble. However, it's taken me 2 weeks and I'm still not finished.
Yeah.
If you look at the base, which I can't do that way. So width-wise, it's 11.4 inches or 29 centimeters. Height-wise, this is including the stand, obviously. It is 22.5 centimeters, 8.9 inches. And length is 33.5 centimeters, 13.2 inches in length. So
this big.
It's a lump of wood.
Mm.
Mm. So, if you get a chance and you fancy a bit of something different, it'll only take you 6 hours unless you take forever. It doesn't need any glue whatsoever. It all literally just clicks together. I'd recommend it. I would.
So how much did it cost then?
It cost about £35, I think, off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's steep, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but it's been quite fun. It's quite robust. Yeah, no, I've enjoyed it. I have enjoyed it. Don't get me wrong, I think £35 for 6 hours worth of entertainment is a bit high. But as I said, it's taken me 2 weeks and I haven't finished yet. And that's only because I've done a little bit here and there, and it's just as a, you know, if you want to do it while you're waiting for your paint to dry or something, good idea.
Oh.
And also the other thing with it as well, the bay doors, they're obviously curved. So if you're ever so clever in your mindset, it will give you a few ideas of how to do some things with modeling anyway. So
yeah.
It's better than a paper model, put it that way.
Good Lord.
Oh, good Lord, indeed.
Good Lord. Well, that's great. That's really good. Obviously, we had the chap, I can't remember his name now. That's terrible. the guy about with we're talking about the wood chap.
Yes, the trains.
What was his name?
Do you know, I was only thinking about him yesterday as well. What was his name? Not Bill. Bill was
Bob. Bob the Train Man.
Bob the Train Man.
Yeah, go look it up. It's about episode 13 or so. He will be very pleased. That's what I was trying to say.
I'll be honest with you. I thought about reaching out to him. And if he'd been in the UK, I probably would have. But because he's in America, I didn't.
Yes.
But I'm glad I didn't, actually, because it was my first foyer with playing with wood. Mm-hmm. I think there were cheaper kits, but I think that was a pretty good kit to get to have a first go on.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So what's with the wax then? Explain that. Is that like because wax I wouldn't have thought was a lubricant.
Well, neither did I, but it says to basically soak the cog, if you like, or the piece in wax. Okay. And I assume it just helps with it not being solid. It gives it something slippery, maybe. It a slippery surface.
Maybe when you get home, you can get some WD-40 right in there.
Well, there are sprayable waxes and sprayable things in which I might play with when I get home.
Oh.
To see if I can get it up and running. But I'll be honest, I think the way I've made it, it's basically going to stay that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially if you have the arms sticking out of it with Hubble coming out, you want to have the doors open, don't you?
No. I'm going to do the arm so it's stowed away, and I'm going to do Hubble stowed away in the bay. So the theory being is if I can make it work, that I can either have it so it's closed and everything put away, or I can move the arm up and down, because the arm still will move.
Hmm.
I can take it out and play with it, you see. Change the way it looks each time.
Gotcha. And you can reveal the Hubble. You can have it closed and then...
Yes. Mm. Yeah. That's the thought process. But it done exactly what I wanted it to do. It's given me a little bit of something to concentrate on, take away some of the stress and the process of sitting there thinking...
What do the nurses make of it?
Most of the nurses just haven't really taken any notice, just thought, because they think I'm weird anyway, asking them to do challenges and stuff. A couple have shown some interest. However, again, one of the consultants looked very interested. And no, it wasn't a consultant, I lie. It was the registrar. He came in to tell me off and to tell me a date for my operation and went, "What's that you've got on the table?" And I went, "Oh, it's my wood." As you do. Of course you would.
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh, I've not seen anything like that before." I said, "Would you like to touch my wood?" "You can. You can pick my wood up if you want." So he did. He reached forward and grabbed my wood. And very gingerly, because he almost dropped it. But all it was the one of the wings hasn't got the top part on, so it's not fully solid.
Right.
So when you pick it up in the right way, it's sort of the wing sort of teases you as if it was going to fall off, and it obviously didn't.
Was he a modeler?
But the funniest part wasn't the fact that he wanted to touch my wood, wasn't the fact that he was slightly interested in it. The fact was he went with it.
Did he?
He did, yeah. And what was really funny, it was a registrar and... three other people, which I believe are doctors that are trained to be consultants, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
But all of them watched him in horror as he went, "Look at me, I can spider and fly my space shuttle across the room." And it just made me tickled me completely. But they were like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, that's amazing."
So, yeah. He's getting distracted slightly. But it does that, doesn't it? Any models like that, if you're interested in them, you know, makes you want to...
Yeah. Absolutely. And of course, once he had touched my wood, I said to him, "Well, you now need to give me a date. You know, you can't be playing with my wood without giving me a date." So he did.
Yes.
And good news it was too.
Your massive rocket. Well, that's cool. That's really, really cool. I mean, nothing attracts a modeler than a model, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely. So
if you're looking for other modelers, and I've said this before, if you're looking for other modelers, go and sit on in a public place with a model, and you'll get mm-hmm. somebody coming over and saying, "Oh, what's this?" And you know, because that's usually the only way you can find other modelers, isn't it? I suppose. But I remember I was buying some cat food, I think, and I was at Pets at Home, the shop, and I pulled up in the car park. And as I got out, I saw the car next to me had a load of models in the back. Right? I was like, "Oh, those models, what's he got there?" And it was the usual kind of Airfix fairs, Vulcans, and there was Meteors in there and all sorts of bits and pieces. And I thought, "Oh, that's interesting." I thought I'll hang around a few minutes and see if I can catch this modeler, you know, but I didn't, unfortunately. And the car was gone when I got back. So I never know if he was because it was a local Pets at Home, too. So I never know. Maybe he's listening. Who knows?
He may be.
Yeah. Did you park in Pets at Home about 2 years ago with a lot of cats? Kits?
Rubber cats? That's a completely different podcast.
I was looking at your stash, buddy. So, anyway. Well, we've been going 40 minutes already, and we haven't even talked about the thing we're going to talk about.
No, so obviously, the title of this particular podcast is Sprue or Not So Sprue, and the thought process was really simple, is in that, obviously, as Malcolm's alluded to in what he just said, was, you know, has it created any interest? And it has, generally, staff and patients. I called two stirs since I've been in here. The first was the fact that I got my big mug with me because I happen to be here with my work bag. Yeah. And everyone else is getting a small cup of coffee, and I'm getting basically a kettle of coffee every time I ask for one. So people have been trying to find me on the wall to find out where the cup come from, and then obviously faced with models as well. And so that has caused a bit of interest. But obviously, I would class this as a strange place to make models on a hospital ward. And it certainly is the strangest place that I can think of right now that I've made a model. And I'm sort of going to throw it out to the people who are watching and listening to let us know what is the strangest place that you made plastic, or did you sprue, or did you decide not to sprue?
I can't think of anywhere at all that's very interesting that I've made a model, apart from the usual places like a model shop or village hall, you know, and a shed and a lounge, nowhere weird, you know. But I do know of somebody who, when they were on a camping holiday, they were visiting a village, and in that village they had a model shop, and the chap was walking around. He said, "Oh, I haven't built this one. The sun doesn't go down for three or four hours. I think I'll buy this." And it was a little Airfix kit and a few paints in it, you know, the start of one. He got back to his campsite with his wife, and of course he didn't have any tools. but he wanted to build it, so he sat on a rock and he used his penknife to cut the sprues out. He used another rock to sand parts down that he needed to. The glue was already in there already, so he did some wild model making, and he actually had it with him when he was doing the little chat. And he done a great job. You know, he did a great job. So his model making skills were still in use. And I think he said he had a head torch on too. So yeah, a bit of wild model making going on. So that would be quite fun. Yeah. Root build.
Oh, a challenge.
Yeah.
That could be a challenge, yeah. Wild modeling.
Yeah, do some modeling in a weird place. Don't get arrested.
We better not advertise that too strongly, because, you know, we give a date and time, all sorts could go wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, wild modeling, that sounds like a cracking idea.
Wild modeling. Yeah, it would be tricky though, wouldn't it? It would be tricky because you need a desk, you need good light, you need your glasses. Do you need stuff around you?
No, you don't. This is the thing. You know, it's all about improvise. Model making is about improvise most of the time. You know, especially if you're doing scratch building. It's all about improvising, isn't it? You know, yeah. I mean, someone suggested to me, where are you going to have your airbrush? Well, yeah, I can. I've got oxygen here. I just and it's all regulated. I just need a hose.
I don't think your sister on the ward would be very impressed with using hospital equipment.
Well,
your model making.
This is it. But yeah, so hello. Bearded veterans joined us on the live and said, "Hey, James has finished his sponge bath with Bruce." I didn't know you realised Bruce was working.
Good Lord.
very good with spongy is too. So let us know if you've got any stories of some weird places in which you've made models. See, now I'm surprised that you don't recall anything, because obviously with Models for Heroes, you've been in some interesting environments, and the thought that you might have been sat next to a tank or under a wing of an aircraft while making a model.
We don't tend to make the models while, museums and things, you know. You couldn't make a model underneath Vulcan, for instance, because it's too blooming dark, unless you had your own light. I've made models next to Shermans, but it's not particularly weird. It's not, you know, it's where they sell models and where we had a model group, so it makes sense to have one there. I'm thinking like, on the floor of the toilets or something, or on the roof or the Eiffel Tower or something. That's what I'm thinking is weird.
Well, I got to be honest. I'm looking out the window of my room here, and I'm looking at a tower block that's got a nice flat roof, and thinking that'd be quite weird to make it up there, make a little helicopter or something. Rob Suto is just saying, I'm strictly vanilla. Do it at home kind of guy. No one with those exhibitionist modelers that like to do it in the open. Maybe it's a thrill of being cool. Yes. Well, there you go. You see, you don't know what you're missing out on.
Yeah.
Being caught fiddling with your sprue with a glue in your other hand, going, oh, my hands are so sticky.
God. It's like a dodgy lay-by somewhere in Oxford. You know,
there are other lay-bys available, but Oxford is what we said. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know why that came to mind. Dodgy lay-bys or car parks. You know, flash your interior light twice, isn't it? Something like that. If you need more glue.
You talking about lay-bys and stuff? I can imagine one person that we both know who's probably done it in a lay-by.
Oh, possibly. Yes, a good one.
Yes, that would be Mr. Lewis.
Yeah,
Mr. Lewis, truck driver. I'm sure he has. I know for a fact he's fettled with plastic and painted his bust and all that sort of stuff.
So he made like a little pack up, didn't he? Like a little box and stuff. So when he was driving in his truck, he could park up. And I think, you know, there are probably other people listening that certainly do have their trucks and their stories. Let us know. There's no way you've been modeling if it's anywhere weird. Only legal places, at least.
Yes. Pictures as well, if they're viable, if that makes sense. But that's the word I was looking for. But I was also talking last week with somebody, I forget who it was, but I was asked whether I had such a thing as a grab bag. And I thought, grab bag? What do you mean grab bag? That's a bit weird. And he said, "Yeah, you know, if everything comes up and you need to do modelling on the road, so to speak, do you have a bag that has got all your bits in?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That you can literally grab and go." And do you know what? I thought to myself, "Ah, crap! I used to have a box of a fish, like you would use for a tackle box for fishing." I had one of those that I used to take to sessions with me, but I took it all apart and put it into something different. But yes, I think that's something in which I'm going to have to do when I get home, is I'm going to have to get myself a grab bag.
Well, I've got this kind of little pouch thing that I've used, and it's the sort of size of a very big mobile phone, let's say, right? It's my head, right? I put clippers in it, I put some glues in there, some sanding sticks, and off I go. So if I'm doing a modeling session somewhere regularly, normal, I can just take the very bare basic stuff, and then I'll just take the kit in the box. The trouble is taking a model kit in the box that you've half built the kit doesn't go back in the box, and it's not a great way of transporting it. But if you're very, very careful, and if you're driving somewhere rather than walking somewhere, it's fine. But and I just chuck that in the box with it, because it's got the bits and pieces in it. A bit of wild modelling. I've never hiked to the top of a mountain or something to do modelling. In fact, I've never hiked to the top of a mountain. In fact, I've never hiked. But could do, just for the photograph, you know, that might be interesting.
The problem is I get worn out just going to the top of a rabbit warren. So a mountain just kill me. But yeah, it would be interesting to... I'll tell you what would be really interesting, actually, is someone with a helicopter dropping us off in the middle of the wilds.
Yeah, I'm not so the sort of person
for a couple of hours and do a bit of fettling, but as long as they come back for us.
I don't have any friends who have helicopters.
You know,
I'm not that kind of guy.
Well, there we go. We'll give you a call out right now. Maybe one of my consultants has got a... I'll ask them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'd be cool. Or in fact, actually, do you know what would be more cool? Would be making models in the back of a Chinook as it flew from A to B. That would be nice. Cool.
All right. Yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. Anything like that. I think it, maybe there is somebody who's listening to this podcast who does that for a living. I don't want to get you into any trouble, but if you want to get your Spitfire out in the back of your Chinook, and play, then send us some pictures, let us know. So everyone that's listens, drop us a line, tell us where you think the most oddest place or unique place, doesn't have to be odd, unique place that you've made a model and experienced that exhibition is.
Cool. Right, so we've been on 52 minutes.
Yeah, so I think that is a wrap, really. Thank you very much for everybody that has watched live, those that have made comments. A massive, massive thank you to our Patreons and supporters who have sent their love, prayers and hugs and wishes and all that sort of stuff. Absolutely. Really, really appreciate it.
Yep.
We'll find other ways. Obviously, we won't be doing a live broadcast while the consultant is doing his plumbing.
No.
That might be a bit too much to ask. However, what I have suggested to them is if they run out of parts, they could always use a sprue. Just stretch the sprue a bit, it'd be fine.
That'll be interesting. Yes. Make a little heart out of model heart, you know.
Uh-huh.
All right. Cool. Let's head off. Are you right to do the business?
I will do. So thank you very much, everybody. We will catch you really, really soon. Ta-ra!
Bye.